And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. On a Saturday. My name is Jason Agnew, and yes, we are live on a Saturday night here on TSN Radio to follow up a very eventful AEW All Out pay-per-view. A new champion was crowned. Arn Anderson returned to the ring for a brief amount of time. And will a trans woman be the first AEW Women's Champion? Well, she's gonna have that opportunity, and we'll talk about it tonight. And naturally, when it comes to AEW, I have two men that I turn to, and they both have been good enough to join me here tonight live in studio. My regular tag team partner, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, and his new yet old, shall we say, partner, Joe Aguinaldo from our All Elite Weekly podcast are here in studio with me. Tonight, we're looking to get interactive with you. We're opening up the phone lines and getting your feedback about the highly anticipated All Out event in Chicago. It's 1-866-729-2562. The phone lines are already open, so use them. 1-866-729-2562 at SNME Radio on Twitter. Let's get interactive. Let's talk wrestling. We're going to take a break and come back as Sunday night's main event presents AEW After Elite Wrestling right here on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Now, flipping over, buckshot lariat, takes on Jericho, pin him right now, Adam Page.
Now he wants to put the exclamation mark on this, go right back to it. Jericho.
Jericho getting a second chance.
Rising backslide.
The backslide.
No. Jonas off back.
That's it. That's got to be it. By God, what impact.
Was that the knockout moment?
What a shot by Jericho. That's got to be it. It's the first ever AEW World Champion.
I want it all. Hey, I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now.
Well, welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event on a Saturday after Elite Weekly, or after Elite Wrestling.
After there Elite Wrestling, that's it.
There you have it. That's what we're doing. We're live here on TSN Radio. Of course, that's that voice that you heard, Dan the Mouth of Vransky, joining me on a Saturday, Joe Aguinaldo from the All Elite Weekly podcast as well. Gentlemen, thanks for hanging out on a Saturday night, yeah. A very notable Saturday night.
Incredible night, yeah. The first really big show for AEW, and a lot of people obviously paying attention to this. That's why we wanted to do the show tonight, and let's get through it, because like you said in your intro, lots of stuff to cover.
Absolutely. And it all started off with the pre-show tonight. And, you know, Mouth, you especially have been critical of the All Elite Wrestling pre-shows.
Yes.
But they started hot tonight. And they started with the Casino Royale, the Casino Battle Royale, that is. And this one has a lot of meaning to it, because this is a women's battle royal. And the winner of this is going to go on to face, well, we'll see what happens in that match later tonight, but on the very first TNT show, they will get a championship opportunity. So it had a lot of meaning to it. I wasn't sold on this format. Joe, this format to me, though, Casino Battle Royale, still very confusing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, they did a better job
today than they did at Double or Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still points in the match where there was just too much going on, and it was really hard to follow along.
They started, though, spotlighting someone that they continued to spotlight the whole time.
That's what I thought was good about it this time, is that it had more focus than the one on the other show, and they had a distinct purpose in getting Nyla Rose over, as she's going to be the one, she's going to be big girl. It's kind of all the girls against her, and they really went with it. Like, the first batch of girls come out, she gets rid of all of them. The second batch of girls come out, she gets rid of all of them. Like, they really, really went to keep Nyla strong in this.
Not too much comedy. I mean, the first batch of women did have Leva Bates in it, and they did a fun thing on the outside with books, kind of like a Kofi
Playing
Kingston
on the Kofi, exactly.
pancakes thing. So I did enjoy that. Leva Bates, Faba Apache, Priscilla Kelly, Solandra Royale, Nyla Rose were your first group, and as Mouth said, Nyla eliminated them all. Penelope Ford, Shazza McKenzie, Sadie Gibbs, Big Swole, Britt Baker were the second group. Nyla got rid of them. Then, hey, Tennille Dashwood shows up.
Yeah, so I guess they made a special deal with Impact to have her in just for this one show. Yeah, Brandi Rhodes comes out. Awesome Kong comes out. Bea Priestley, Ivory Lee. And we thought, you know, because Brandi came out with Awesome Kong, I thought they were going to do more of that story of her kind of protecting Brandi, but they really didn't.
No. They did to a degree, but not as much. And I think that's okay.
Honestly, it was fine.
I'm really glad, because I know, Joe, you're not a big fan of Brandi, and neither am I, because it's such a contradictory role for her jumping into the women's division where she's beside Cody all the time.
Yeah. Like, I mean, again, Brandi is, like, you know, the brand officer I'm cool with.
Yeah.
But as a wrestler, I mean, even, like, the other part of it, too, is, like, I mean, some of her work today was just, I mean, you had to turn sideways, squint your eyes, and then maybe it looked okay, but for the most part, it was like, oh my God, like, Brandi, what are you doing in there?
Fourth batch was Ali, Nicole Savoy, Teal Piper, ODB, and Jazz. They did some fun things with Teal Piper here. Piper did an eye poke and a sleeper on ODB, just like Roddy would have.
Yeah, that was good.
Then the wild card, which was a nice surprise, and it was Mercedes Martinez.
Yes.
Of course, you know, you might know her from the indie scene. She's been around for a long time. In particular, though, both of the Mae Young Classics she's participated in and had a fairly prominent role.
Yeah.
This is going to burn up. This is not just going to burn a bridge. This is going to blow it up.
No, I don't suspect we're going to see her back in the Mae Young Classic if it ever happens again. But she is such a talented wrestler. I saw her work here in Toronto earlier this month against Jordan Grace. And it was just a fantastic match. I'm hoping that she's part of the AEW picture, but it wasn't really clear in this one. And she does end up getting eliminated. She's not the winner of the match. But she was one of the last ones in there, because it did come down to Nyla, Bea Priestley, Britt and Mercedes were the last four, and then it got Bea and Britt against Nyla was basically what was happening in the end, and Britt eliminated Bea Priestley, and then Nyla went to eliminate Britt, and Bea Priestley actually pulled her to the outside, and so Nyla was the last one left. So I guess obviously they're going to do something with Britt Baker and Bea Priestley,
which
is great, because that's what Battle Royals are good for, is starting off new angles. But like you said right off the top, this was the Nyla Rose show, and this match was totally put together to make her look like the strong monster heel. Only thing was, she looked tired at the end.
Oh, she did look tired at the end. That is no doubt. Now she proceeds forward, and they did make it clear that she will go on to get this title shot at the first TV, and along with that, it happens to be in her hometown.
Yes.
Joe, do you think AEW, the progressive wrestling company, as they are pitching themselves, can resist putting the women's title on a transgender women's wrestler as their first ever champion?
In her hometown.
I would have a hard time believing if they didn't do that.
I foresee that happening, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't know how long she'll carry the title.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. I think as the first time in, she makes a big impact, but it also sets it up for a really interesting first match, because we're going to obviously have Underdog against the Monster here.
Yes, that is. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Second match on the pre-show was Private Party versus Angelico and Jack Evans. Private Party wins as they're headed to face the Young Bucks at the first round of the tag tournament. I didn't have a problem with this, but you guys This took the pre-show a notch down.
It did. I mean, I just thought the match itself was a little sloppy, and I really didn't think the two teams gelled together that well. They seemed to have a lot of trouble. They were missing stuff. It was just kind of one of those ones where it was two teams that really didn't gel together properly. The finish was Evans and Helico attacked them after... Cassidy pinned and Helico. That was the finish. And then Evans and Helico attacked them afterwards and gave them the Navarra death roll. So I don't know if Private Party and them were going to continue in some kind of feud, but I would rather not see that because I really didn't think the two teams worked together well.
Well, one of the things that we did see here, though, Joe, and you mentioned this when we were watching, is that Angelico and Jackie Evans got some pretty good heat when they did do this turn.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I thought the one of the things I wrote down in my notes was that the crowd was pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Until the end, and then...
The beatdown brought him up. Yeah,
they just exploded, and, like, there was major heat, and I was like, wow, like, maybe they should, you know, this is a good thing for Angelico and Jack Evans. I want to sort of just double up on what Dan said. Like, I felt that there were a lot of really good, like, sort of tag team moves during the match, but, yeah, it was just really sloppy between the two. It just didn't work for me.
From there, we go to a vignette of a new character that's coming into the organization. Very cartoony, very comic booky.
All in slow motion. It was all in slow motion. Yeah, and he was fighting, like, street punks in the street and stuff, so, yeah.
Wardlow is the name. He's from Cleveland. He's wrestled in ICW and Revenge Pro in Cleveland. So there you go. He is coming in. Very over-the-top Lodge character. Looked to have a big scar on his back and a valet with him as well, actually.
Yes.
MJF is doing an interview, which is amazing. With the backstage interview, he keeps calling her sweetheart, which is so wrong yet so right for him as a heel. She's asking him why MJF doesn't have a match on the card, and he says he didn't want a match. He just wants to be there to help his friend Cody. And then we have JR introduced, and we have Golden Boy, Excalibur, and JR standing.
Yes.
Not sitting.
Yes, thankfully. Looked much better.
No more nuts and guts shot.
Yeah.
And running down the card and really pushing what is coming up and getting people to purchase the card. One thing that I will say about this, and we've seen it with numerous things in AEW, they've made a mistake on a pay-per-view, nuts and guts shot.
It was
fixed. They fixed it.
It was fixed. And right. even the whole overall, I think, feeling of the warm-up show is, again, it was much more effective this time than last time, because this actually would make you kind of want to watch the pay-per-view, whereas the one before really was just not good at all.
Yeah, I'd argue that this pre-show is probably the best one they've done so far.
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right. All Out begins with an excellent match to begin with, and that is SCU, Daniels, Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, versus Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Marco Stunt. Both teams are fan favorites, but you can tell SCU kind of took the heel role in this match.
Yes.
This Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Marco Stunt tandem is beyond great for fans.
People love it. I mean, even the opening where they came out and they did that thing where they shook the camera and it made it look like they were dinosaurs.
Yeah.
The power of a dinosaur coming out. I thought it was great. People get really into the character as well. And the interesting thing in this one is that the commentators did something that you don't normally see, in that when something isn't really particularly right, they criticized it. Like, they kept talking about how it was wrong for them to have Marco Stunt in there and that Luchasaurus should be in there taking all the work, and how that wasn't a good strategy. And I thought, wow, that's really kind of cool. That's refreshing to hear the commentators actually talk like that. It makes them, what they're saying, kind of mean something. So that was one thing I got on this. It was a fun match. They all worked together really well. Luchasaurus got this great big spot to shine with him taking all of SCU out at once with lots of different moves, kicks, choke slams. So they had him do the powerful monster spot. And Kaz pinned Stunt after he got the best moonsault ever pile driver combo together there with him and Daniels.
So you have SCU going over here, and you know, Joe, a lot of people may say, well, why didn't you put the fan favorites over with, you know, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus? But I'm kind of thinking that there's a lot of time for those guys still to come, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing for SCU to go over here.
No, I agree. I mean, again, SCU is the established team. They're an actual team. You know, they've been around for a while. You know, they're the veterans. So to me, it just makes sense that they win. But hey, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt look good. You know, like, I was really impressed with some of the stuff Luchasaurus did. I mean, he did, like, a standing moonsault. He did, like, a kip-up.
He's a star.
What the hell?
Yeah. I think, actually, in this match, it wouldn't even matter who won or who lost.
I think there is something to be said where you can't let SCU continue to lose though,
all the time.
Because
yeah.
they come out and they're just going to become that opening jobber team.
Yeah, right.
So they do get a win
once
here over
in a
fan
while,
favorites.
Yeah, right.
I don't mind that. I think that it's good to reinforce that. Match number two, surprise.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega versus Pac. In the second match, the Bastard Pack. That's what it says. That's his Twitter, and that's what they're referring
that's
to
what
him
they're
as
calling
now.
Him, yep.
And another thing we noticed here, and you know, Cody has gone out of his way to say the wrestling will be taken seriously. When these guys came down to the ring for the ring entrances, their win-loss record was shown
on the graphic.
In the graphic.
Yeah, how cool was that, eh? I just thought that was absolutely fantastic. They've talked about it from day one, and to actually visualize it and put it on the screen just makes it so much more like a regular sporting event type thing. I thought it was great.
Now, I guess this match was moved up in the card because if it was, this is of course supposed to be the Moxley
yes.
match. I'm guessing it was bumped up in the card. I was not as interested in this match because you guys know I'm such a storyline guy that it definitely took away and I really wanted to see the Moxley match. But Joe, going into this, looking at Pac versus Omega, did this match deliver for you?
Yeah, you know what? It did. I'll admit, I was probably looking more forward to Pac versus Omega when I found
really?
Out it happened. Like, I like Moxley. He's really been impressing me, you know, especially after his work in the G1, but I've always been a Pac fan. So when I saw this as a match, I was like, this is going to be really good.
See,
and I thought it delivered.
I've never been that much a Pac fan, but Mouth, these guys just went in there and
it was good.
Beat each other
good.
Senseless.
It was, yeah, it was really good. They gave them some time. They had about 25 minutes. They started out really slow, kind of doing a thing where they're feeling each other out. Crowd really got into it. Of course, both guys doing crazy dives to the outside. Pac did a crazy moonsault to Kenny on the floor and banged his ankles off the guardrail, which didn't look too...
Yeah, that didn't look happy.
Didn't look too happy there. You know, lots of high-impact moves. They did the stuff with the forearm. Kenny trying for the one-winged angel at one point, but Pac got the brutalizer locked in, and that's it's kind of like this stretch submission move that he put in, and he locked it in, and Kenny Omega actually passed out, and Pac wins the match, and three guys sitting in this room went, holy, like none of us were expecting Pac to win this match. So obviously he must be working there with them. Maybe they figure because Moxley's going to be out for a while, this little feud with him and Omega is going to continue. I'm not really sure, but I'm sure they pretty well startled everyone with having Pac win this one.
Does it hurt Omega, Joe, to have Pac win here? And on top of that, Omega not tap but pass out.
No, I don't think it hurts Omega. I mean, especially the way that this match was laid out. You know, like I think, you know, as they move forward into the television, they'll probably book him strong. So I wasn't too worried when Omega lost this match.
One thing you brought up in this match, Joe, when we were sitting there watching, was the story that they told in the match about Omega making a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah, like and this comes back to what Dan said about the announcing where, you know, JR or whatever would say he should go for the one wing angel now.
Yes.
He shouldn't, you know, he's distracted. He doesn't
he's
have
wasting
his rhythm.
Time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was really good.
I enjoyed that too. The whole kind of story that he took it too far and should have tried for this and didn't do it. And again, it really adds to it. Having the announcers reinforce that kind of stuff. That's what they're there to do, right? They're not there to kind of snip with each other or just make dumb jokes. I thought they did a good job in getting that kind of stuff over.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on a Saturday, doing a special after Elite Wrestling show. We're covering the All Elite Wrestling, the AEW All Out show that aired tonight. A huge event for them. Tons of wrestling fans watching. I know we're hoping to go live to a few of fans that were there.
Yeah.
If you are watching and you want to get your calls on in, get on the line right now, 1-866-729-2562, and we will get to you in the next segment. The next match that we're going to talk about, gentlemen, is the Cracker Barrel Challenge. It's a three-way match. Jimmy Havoc, Darby Allin, Joey Janela. This match started. First spot started. With taping Jimmy Havoc to a chair and putting thumbtacks in his mouth, then duct taping his mouth closed. That's how it started. started.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went from there. We got skateboards with tacks on the bottom. We got a fluffy Cracker Barrel biscuits in a tin. We got the Cracker Barrel barrels. We got paper
staple
cuts.
Guns. Staple guns.
But I was trying to go through the things that were a little bit different, because although it could be perceived as, yes, it's just another hardcore match, it was different, though, Mouth.
I agree with you. And they were inventive, and they didn't use the same old things. They didn't have a garbage can full of kendo sticks under the ring. They came up with some unique spots, like several of the ones that you mentioned. And, yeah, and certainly the brutality of putting tacks in someone's mouth and duct taping it closed, that was just nasty. And, of course, he did get to have his comeback and rip the tape off and actually spit the tacks out at one of them there. It was a crazy match, and this was your hardcore match for the show, which was great. It was like the one contained match, but like Jay said, it was great that they came up with new stuff. Paper cuts!
Yes, that was funny.
It is ridiculous, but I, in the terms of the context of the match, is it any crazier than using tacks and staples or biscuits? I mean, you know, I thought it worked out good. It was still a really hard, intense match. I mean, that spot you mentioned, the skateboard with the tacks, when that got rammed into Janela's back, his back was all full of tacks. I mean, they did a big Darby Allin did this crazy backdrop with a barrel onto some steps at one part.
Yeah, that's his coffin drop move.
Yeah, the coffin drop that with was, the barrel. Though.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, Havoc pinned Janela after clotheslining Janela on a barrel. You know, it was fun. It was hardcore, yeah. So, I mean, we're not talking technical, but like they came up with new stuff, and that's what made it fun.
So Jimmy Havoc wins this match, and I guess it really didn't matter who won, Joe. However, Darby Allin just went in, you know, just had that really long match with Cody Rhodes. And by not having him win here, I'm wondering why they didn't put Darby Allin over.
Yeah, I thought he was going to win.
Yeah.
Based on the Cody match. Although the one thing, and maybe I don't know if you guys noticed it, but the one thing I did notice is at the end of the match, you know, he had the refs, helping him out, and he kind of pushed them away and tried to go off on his own. So now at the time, though, we had turned the sound down, so I couldn't hear the crowd reaction. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if that might have been, you know, sort of your stone cold spot after the submission match at 13 when he's trying to walk up the ramp and, you know, people are sort of cheering him, right? But yeah, like I was a little shocked by that, but I'm okay with Jimmy Havoc winning the match.
Look, man, if you're going to do the spot where you get the thumbtacks thrown down your throat and your mouth taped over, you should win the match, okay. I think.
Though a spot he probably requested, knowing Jimmy Havoc.
Which is pretty scary.
The Dark Order is next with, not the Minions, but the Creepers is what they are called. They are facing the Best Friends here. The winner gets the bye in the tag team title tournament. They might get the bye, but I'm still not buying them, and that the Dark Order. Here's what we can. We'll get into the match in a sec, but here's, I figured out the reason why I don't like the Dark Order. They're in between two gimmicks.
Right.
They used to be the Super Smash Brothers, right?
With all the video game references and stuff.
And that's fine. And if that's your gimmick, that's fine. Then you're playing that out. But the problem is, you've got Evil Uno. Why is he called that? Well, he used to be Player One, but now he's Evil Uno. That really doesn't make sense, and it also doesn't make sense with the Dark Order. I like the name The Dark Order. I think it's great. I don't really care for the Creepers, especially because they're all flabby and weird looking.
They were tonight. Yeah. They certainly were tonight.
That could have been you and me in there, Matt. Like Joe is in too good shape to have been one of the Creepers tonight.
I know.
But like that could have been you and me with a mask on.
Yeah.
So I don't really get that. And that's why I'm divided. I don't think that they have bought into their whole new gimmick. Mm. And therefore, why would I as a fan buy into it?
It seems to be a work in progress. Yeah. And it's still, I think, they're trying to nail out all the bugs and stuff like that. I didn't mind this match. I kind of liked the story of the resiliency of the Best Friends trying to go against the Dark Order. And hell, they did give the Dark Order a lot of this match. They were in control a big chunk of the match. And they won with this move called the Fatality, and they pinned Trent. And they were carrying him out, and then all of a sudden it went dark.
Lights went out, which is something normally that they do, but it was used against them here.
Yes.
And it was Orange Cassidy, a suicide dive with his hands in his pockets as he does. Joe, you got a giant smile on your face here for Orange Cassidy.
I love Orange Cassidy. I don't know why, though. He's just kissing. But he's like just his dive with the sunglasses on. I popped hard for that. That was great.
I think he was used in the right way here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just quick in and out, right? Like just quick in and out really fast. Did a quick spot. He just landed on the Creepers. numbers. It was like there's no real big deal or anything. And it's not really in the middle of a match like when they had him in the Battle Royal at the last warm-up show there. So I thought it was a good way. And if you do it like this, it'll become a part that fans will look forward to. It'll be like, oh, what'll be the little bit we see with Orange Cassidy at this show? You know what I mean? It's just something you kind of look forward to.
And then afterwards, you had the best friends hug each other with Orange Cassidy in between.
That's right.
It was a really nice spot. I mean, that's one of the things that you can definitely say about this AEW show and a lot of their past shows is there was a hardcore match. There was a Battle Royal.
Something for everybody.
Yeah, yep. You know what I mean? And you get a little comedy here. Tonight, the comedy was done in the right spots.
I agree. I agree. Because it's really dangerous and you can't go too far with it. And there was a couple times on the last show it didn't work. Most of it all worked tonight. Yeah.
Up next, we had match number five in the main card, which is Ryu versus Hikaru Shida. Here we have Ryu winning, and she is going on to face Nyla Rose on October the 2nd. Very much a David and Goliath match
totally.
That will come to.
Yep.
This match, though, itself, mouth of these two going on, obviously these two very familiar with
one
another.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we saw them in tag on the same team at one of the other, Double or Nothing, I believe it was. And they've worked together a long time, and they worked really great. Rio, for being 22 years old.
Oh,
right?
I know.
22 years old. She's just spectacular out there. She did a lot of that low-key stomp on the stomach kind of thing.
Oh, that's, big time.
That's one of her big... She did that to Shida on the apron at one point, and that just looked super nasty. She did one while she was hanging in the ropes as well. But I thought they had a great match together. And at the end, just for the nice topper, Nyla came out, did the bit of a stare down with Rio. Didn't interact, nothing. Didn't have to push her, run out there or attack or anything. They just kind of looked at each other, and we know that's in place. And again, because these guys are tapping the past in a lot of ways, I'm not surprised that they're going this route with a classic David versus Goliath kind of thing for the championship.
Interestingly enough, though, normally in David and Goliath, Goliath does not win.
Well, that's... Well, you're the one that seems to be convinced that Nyla's going to win. You never know.
Hometown.
Yeah.
If you want to go against what WWE tends to do,
you let her win in her hometown.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
So, but it's interesting here because you do have a much smaller opponent versus a much larger one, and if you put the larger one over, it would buck regular storytelling, shall we say.
You know what? I guess it really depends on how it's presented. I mean, if they really do want to present her as kind of monster, you know, giant monster heel that no one's going to be able to get through, then maybe that's what they want, and she just beats Rio really quickly.
I don't know if she's a heel. How many times did I turn to you guys tonight and go,
right,
sorry, who's the heel here?
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that we are seeing is that I think babyface and heel in this organization is going to depend
on the story
and
the
story.
Angle. Yeah.
And I don't know if I like that. Joe, I mean, do you like that? I do like black and white in my wrestling as far as who's good and who's bad.
I generally like to have an idea of who the good guy is, protagonist or antagonist.
Yeah, of course.
Right? That's just classic wrestling.
Right.
So, I get the shades of gray. You know what? I guess I wouldn't mind it if it's only a few characters, but if it's going to be everything, then I've got a bit of an issue.
I don't know if I have a problem with it because, I mean, that's how real life is sometimes in conflicts with people. Sometimes you're the bad guy and sometimes you're the good guy. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I think if it suits the story and you can make it work, then I don't think it's a problem.
Well, in our next match, I feel we have a full-on babyface and a full-on heel.
Oh, yes, in this one, definitely,
Cody Rhodes versus Sean Spears. This was one of the best promoted matches of the evening.
Of the year.
Of the year, you would say.
I would definitely say so.
So Tully Blanchard's in Sean Spears' corner, and the mystery was who is going to be in Cody's corner. But before we get there, Spears appears sitting in a chair on the ramp. He walks down with a hood on, and then Tully comes out from behind, pulls the hood off to reveal Sean Spears in these weird contacts. We didn't need the contacts.
Yeah, he had like, you know, when Rey Mysterio or Ember Moon wears contacts, that's what he had in, and I just thought it was totally out of place. It kind of took it out of reality a bit, you know, which I didn't think was needed here.
I mean, he looked a bit like a Star Trek villain.
Segway!
As weird as this was, they then cut backstage to Brandy walking with Pharaoh, and Brandy's looking like Seven of Nine with like a Borg type thing on her face.
Yeah, she had Borg thing on her face.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very Star Trek like. And then DDP and MJF join. DDP's wearing a red shirt, so you know he's going to die.
He's not going to.
MJF is in yellow. They're walking backstage. Cody then comes up from the floor. He's in a red jersey as well, so we figure, well, maybe he's not winning either. But it's all this Star Trek thing. I tweeted out and I asked if anyone knew what the connection was, and I just think that Rhodes love Star Trek.
I think it was the idea. They call themselves the Nightmare Family, and yeah. I think the logo on the shirts was the Nightmare Family logo. So I guess they just felt it was, we're going to dress Star Trek, but we're the Nightmare Family, I guess. Maybe they're fans. Like, a direct connection, I don't know what it is.
But the series Picard is coming back, and it looks phenomenal.
I doubt that's got anything to do
just
with it.
Just throwing it out there, guys. Also, then they get to ringside, and Cody points at MJF. MJF then gets in DDP's face doing the diamond cutter sign, because he's been the one selected over DDP or Brandy to be at ringside with Cody, because there's only one person allowed. This match doesn't even start, and Cody does a suicide dive onto Sean Spears on the outside. What a great way to start. Even better... Tully tries to pull him off Sean.
Oh, yeah.
And Tully takes a bump.
Tully was not afraid to take some shots in this match, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, they brawled all through the crowd after that dive before the match even got started. The crowd was just going nuts while they were in the crowd fighting and stuff. They're going really crazy. They made it back. They got back to the ring. There was one weird spot in the match, I thought, though. I mean, overall, this match was fantastic. But there was one point where Spears tried to use his muscle belt, and he was going to whip Cody with it, and the referee Hebner stopped him with it. But then this allowed Tully to give Spears his belt, like off his pants, and he used that, and Hebner didn't do anything.
That was weird.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
I didn't understand that. I guess what regular belts you're allowed to use. I don't know what was going on there. Other good spots in the match, though. Spears did a running Death Valley driver on the ramp that just looked amazing. Cody got the crossroads and went for the cover, but then Tully distracted the referee, and then Tully and MJF got into it, and that brought out the Enforcer, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it was so great. We got to see Arn Anderson. He came out. He gave Spears a spine buster. He actually got to do a move as well, and then he left, and Tully followed him for some reason.
Well, this was part of the issue. My issue with this match is, you know, you mentioned the belt thing, and then Anderson coming in to attack Spears. Like, why? Spears is just standing there. Why didn't he go after Tully and take out Tully
just
instead?
Just one punch or a spine?
That's it.
One punch.
I love the spine buster. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was fun to see, but it was slightly
and Arn looked
illogical.
Great doing it. He looked great doing it.
It was just slightly
right.
illogical
yeah.
with the way that he was utilized. Yeah. So Tully followed him.
That was the part I didn't get. Like, I understand. I understand him. You know, being confused, but then he walked out, and I was like,
"Yeah, that didn't make a lot." I agree. There should have been some interaction with Tully and Arn at some point.
That, of course, left MJF the only one at ringside with these guys.
That's right.
We did have Cody come out as the winner here, Mount.
Yeah, yeah. Cody went for the chair, and Spears tried to stop him, and then Cody just went nuts and gave him the shots and the bionic elbow, just like Dad, and then gave him the crossroads and pinned him. So that was the finish, and it was a strong final pin. And again, a surprise to me, because I really thought Spears would win it and the story would continue on. But this, to me, looked like, that's it. I beat him. We're done.
Yeah, there was a slight tease of MJF having that chair in his hand as
right,
well.
That's true. They kind of sowing the seeds. But if that's what they're doing, that's probably not going to happen until way down the road, I would hope.
I think perhaps MJF and Sean Spears next. Joe, do you see that at all?
I could see that. I mean... You know, like,
but why though? Cody beat him. Like
MJF and Sean Spears, because there was footage that was released of Sean Spears attacking MJF at a show a couple weeks ago.
So you think they could go that
way? Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Let's go to the ladder match for the AAA Tag Championship: Lucha Brothers versus Young Bucks. Rumors were that Phoenix had an injured leg. That's news to me, because after watching this match, I can't imagine this guy being hurt. Or he has a really, really good pharmacist.
Yeah, he was doing crazy. He was doing crazy dives. He did that one crazy dive over the top of the ladder.
Yeah, that
remember
was
over
that
the
was
top
nuts.
Of the ladder to the floor. So yeah, he was. You know, this match was just what you'd expect. These guys tore it up. The crowd ate everything up. You know, Pentagon did a Canadian Destroyer off the ladder through a table with Matt. The Bucks did a combo crossface sharpshooter. shooter using the ladder on Pentagon, which looked pretty nasty. Nick got pushed off one of the high ladders at one point and went through two tables. And Matt even pulled the mask off Pentagon at one place to stop him, but then he got dropped on a ladder as well after that. So that was kind of neat. I've never seen, like, you rarely see it in Mexico. That happens all the time where the right. guys try to tear each other's masks off. It doesn't happen as much here in North America.
The crowd
booed.
Yeah.
Huge.
Because the hardcore crowd understands
like it at all.
Because they understand. That's a total heel move to pull the guy's mask off. So that was it was quite effective with this crowd. So the finish was Pentagon giving Matt a package pile driver on the ladder, and Lucha Brothers win, get the belts. And then after the match, two masked guys came out and they attacked both teams. One was wearing a Clinton mask and one was wearing a JFK mask, and they ripped them off. And I think one of you called it before it happened. This was the debut of LAX, and it was Santana and Ortiz under the mask. So they're being thrown into the mix now.
They are indeed. I'm guessing that they'll probably find their way into the tournament. All right, let's just get into the final match here, and then we're going to have to take a break. But it's the AEW World Championship match. It's Chris Jericho versus the Hangman, Adam Page, who got his horse.
Yes, I was so happy to see that because I kind of thought that was a fun little running gag of him complaining that he wanted to have a horse, and they're going, oh, no, we can't give you a horse. What if it craps all over the place? And I thought that was nice that he got to come out. And the crowd was so amped for this match. They were chanting both guys' names before they even locked up and did everything. Jericho was kind of working on the arm and the leg of Page. That was kind of the story. I also thought Jericho worked a lot better in this match than he has in his recent, like, the New Japan matches.
Right.
This was one of the most athletic matches I think he's
done so far.
JR said he was in the best look. Did he say the best looking
shape? Best shape he's seen him in a while. Yeah, I don't know
that one. They even did color in this one. Jericho did some color off a shot from Page. And Page got the dead eye, and Jericho kicked out, which got a big crowd pop, and then Jericho got the Judas effect eventually, and the three count. So as many expected, Jericho is the first champion. But it was a great match. It meant something. It was dramatic. I think it was the way to go.
Joe, do you agree the way to go here, or would you have liked to have seen Paige and his horse? Paige ride into the sunset with the title on his horse.
No, I mean, I've said all along that I think, putting the belt on Jericho initially is best for business.
Mm-hmm.
Your biggest star. And, you can use him to start building stories. And, again, I don't think this thing hurts Paige losing this match. I mean, he's a young kid. He's going to get a lot of opportunities moving forward.
We will talk more about that and the event as a whole. We'll go into detail about more of the angles coming out of this as well as this organization heads towards television. Of course, we also want your feedback. We are live tonight on TSN Radio. So if you want to get on in, now is your time. 1-866-729-2562. 1-866-729-2562. Give us a call. We will get you on. We hope to go to someone that was there live tonight coming up next as we take a break. Coming back with more. This is Sunday Night's Main Event on a Saturday, live right here on TSN Radio.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery. Now available at your local LCBO.
Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And now Tully Cohen after MJF on the outside. Oh! Just laying the shoe leather to the ribs.
It's double A! It's Arn Anderson!
He's had enough of the shenanigans, JR!
Arn, is he coming to help? We don't know why he's coming. Arn in the ring. Wait a minute. Double A! The spine on the pine from Double A! And the Hall of Famer makes his statement known to everybody that will listen. And I'll bet Tully's legend. There's Tully's face. Tully can't believe.
Well, there you have it. Tonight at AEW All Out, a bit of a reuniting, sort of two horsemen.
Yes.
Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, the Brainbusters, I suppose.
That's right.
If you're a WWF fan.
That's right.
Someone that I had talked about right away.
Yes.
When I'm like, okay, mystery guy in the corner. If Arn's available, throw him. And they didn't. We got the surprise a little bit later on. It was a great surprise, but kind of illogical at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like we mentioned in the rundown there, Arn and Tully should have had some kind of interaction. The one that I was kind of thinking might have been a great in his corner would have been Dustin, just to play off the whole brother thing and that, you know, I go to my brother to get the strength I need in my corner.
I'm surprised
thing.
He wasn't there in a Spock outfit tonight, to be honest with you. I mean,
coming with them to the ring?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have a blue shirt, right? They had a couple reds and yellow, no blue shirt.
No.
You're listening to a Sunday Night's Main Event on a Saturday night, a special edition tonight. We're talking about the AEW All Out show, a huge show for the organization tonight as they go into television starting on October the 2nd. We are fortunate enough to be joined by someone that was there live tonight, a friend of mine, a comedian who tours all over, named Rob Mayhew. Rob, you're on the line with us right now. You were there live tonight. Did you just happen to be in town, or did you drive specifically to go see this?
No, I'm actually living in Chicago right now.
Oh, great!
Lucky enough that I won the lottery that is getting tickets to this, so I was very lucky.
So, I mean, was it worth it? How was it?
It was great. It's weird, honestly, Jason. I love, like, it's so close to a high enough production, but just in the arena, like, the screens aren't that big, the sound's not that loud. I hate to start it off being negative with it, but it was like a little bit. Hard to, so I was with my girlfriend who doesn't watch the product, doesn't know who these people are, and it was hard for her to like get into who these people were because the video packages weren't really coming across like in the arena.
That's interesting, actually, that you say that, Rob, because one of the things that we've talked about a lot on this show is the fact that AEW is at a point where they have a very hardcore, loyal fan base. But as they progress towards TNT and television, they need to appeal to that mainstream audience. So, anyone there is probably a hardcore fan,
yeah.
But that's something that they seem to not be catering to, even in the live environment, you're saying.
Yeah, and it's an arena. They're not going to bring huge screens with them. It's the arena that they're playing. But when they're going to be playing B-side arenas, like, this is going to be a problem probably in a bunch of them. But the product was great. I don't want to make it sound like it was a bad time. Luchasaurus was, like, super over. That was, like, such a great way to start. Him and Jungle Boy. I kind of wish they would take Marco Stunt off of that. I kind of like it just being a boy and his dinosaur, not another also even smaller boy that looks weird kind of, like, in it. I don't know. But it was great. The Pac winning over Kenny was, like, interesting. Jericho, I mean, everyone kind of saw it was coming. The LAX was a good enough surprise. It quelled. Like, there wasn't much CM Punk chanting. There was a little bit here and there, but it didn't, like, that cloud of CM Punk in Chicago didn't really hang over it.
Which is good, because that really did was a big thing leading into the show. Everybody was thinking, because it's Chicago, CM Punk. And it's like, honestly, the three of us, I never even thought of that during the entire show.
Nor did I. Rob, did you get to see any of the StarCast events when you were down there?
No, I didn't see any of that, unfortunately.
Okay,
so. I didn't see if Punk said anything about anything. I didn't see any of that. So.
I actually haven't seen anything really pop up at this point, but I mean, stuff
well,
could still be coming out.
The interesting thing, apparently he said that he's not mad at WWE anymore and all that kind of stuff, right? So, whatever.
And then he fooled around in a ring.
Yeah.
I have to mention one more thing or my girlfriend will be mad. She was very unhappy with the use of live performance animals tonight. And if you did notice, Pharaoh did not look like he wanted to be there.
No, he didn't. No, you could tell that on the pay-per-view that he wanted to run to the back. He was not... Yeah.
I remember last time thinking Pharaoh seemed like, you know, a kind of a cool part of the package. But she was right. When I looked at it this time, I was like, I don't know. It doesn't look right anymore.
I think the pyro.
The horse was a lot. I mean,
the horse was great.
Didn't Pritchard just say that a horse can't walk in cement? Was that just to prove Pritchard wrong? Like, that was just on a Pritchard podcast that you couldn't have the Mountie walk out on a horse because horses couldn't walk on concrete. And now they have a horse walk on concrete. I don't know if that's like. Intentional towards Pritchard.
I don't think so. It seems to be something they were pushing right from the beginning. I mean, Adam Page mentioned it months ago that he wanted to ride a horse out to the ring, so...
Okay, all right. Yeah, I guess. I didn't necessarily see that, so my bad.
Well, Rob, thanks for taking time out and chatting with us tonight and giving us a call from the live event. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Rob Mayo. Go see him if you get a chance. He's a stand-up.
In Chicago.
Come on out. Yeah, he's in Chicago now. The live event. You know what's interesting about that horse thing, though? That was what Bret Hart was pitched.
Yeah,
originally.
Oh, yeah, the cowboy, yeah. Bret Hart.
He was, yes. So for those, this is a story Bret tells all the time. When he went to WWF, Vince pitched him this. He was going to be cowboy Bret Hart, and he was going to come out on a horse.
Yeah.
Didn't Jarrett came out on a horse at some point, did he not?
Probably maybe once or twice. Yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's do one more phone call. If you want to get your calls in, 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. And I believe we do have David on the line all the way from the UK. David, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning, Chase.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
It's about 6 in the morning for you now, because we just did the midweek markout together, so I know we got a 5-hour time difference. David, did you watch both shows today?
I did, yes. I'm reasonably spaced out on wrestling this week, you know, as you guys are normally.
Yeah,
What did you rate higher, my friend? What did you like, the NXT UK TakeOver, or did you enjoy All Out more?
With all due respect to NXT UK, which I thought was a better show than I was expecting, AEW, any doubts about their potential to put on, not a rival show, but their own company show, to be their own entity, for me, was done tonight. It was a fantastic show, top to bottom.
What was your highlight, David?
Easy. Omega Pack. I thought that was fantastic.
There you go, Omega Pack. And it didn't bug you that Omega did not go over there? Because we all kind of thought that... Go ahead.
No, he's good enough. He's good enough to be rehabbed. But if they're bringing Pack in permanently, Pack needs to be strong. They can have a little series. They can have, like, 2 or 3 matches.
Yeah,
He can get a win back. He can get a win back going into TV. We spoke about during the week about having some faces when they start TV that you've already touched on it in the show, when they need to look at people, you know, to get people interested. Pat's one of those people that will bring in some casual fans.
He could very well do that. All right, David, thank you very much for staying up very late / early with us. Your phone is kind of wonky, so I'm going to let you go. But, you know, to me, though, guys, Omega is someone that is... He's going to be do you not think he's the face of the company?
Oh, yes.
He is the star. Like, Cody's the owner, the Bucks are there, but Omega is, to me, number one.
Yeah, he's probably the top guy, absolutely, yeah.
So with that said, I mean, you know, you have him pass out tonight to Pac.
Well, because I think it's a continuing story, though, Jay. I agree with,
with David?
Yeah, with Dave, that I think that they're going to do a short program now with Pac, I think, and I think he'll get his win back, and then probably, hopefully, by that time, Moxley is ready, and they go back into the Moxley program.
All right, let's take a break. We have got to do short segments here, because we took so long with our rundown. We're going to come on back, though. If you want to get in on it, it's 1-866-729-2562. We are live here on Saturday night, a Saturday night special covering All Out. It was a huge show for AEW. We want your thoughts on it. 1-866-729-2562. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
I'm Dan the Mouth Loransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f**ks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f**ks, tough guy.
These two men are assaulting the Lucha Brothers, who just retained their tag titles in this hellacious ladder match.
Those Johnny Utah-esque presidential faces. Oh no, Nick Jackson unable to defend himself. Oh! Flipping neckbreaker powerbomb combination. And the masked figures standing over.
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event on a Saturday. That was a clip from tonight's AEW All Out, where the two masked men bizarrely wearing...
Clinton and JFK.
Yeah.
You figure in this day and age, one of them would be Trump.
or well, no, because I don't think you'd want that, actually, because it would bring so much attention to people booing Trump, most likely, right?
Yeah, but they're heels. You want them to be. It just adds to it.
I don't know if they're heels, though, Mouth.
JFK is not a heel.
Well, they attacked. Okay, yes, going back in time. Really, neither is Clinton, I don't think, either. So
that's debatable.
Okay. Regardless, though, these guys are not necessarily heels either. I mean, who knows? As we play in shades of gray here.
That's true.
In the tag division, they did attack both the Young Bucks and they attacked the Lucha Brothers as well.
Right.
It seems, I mean, everybody is just out for themselves, especially in the tag division, because these belts are still up for grabs.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what I, let's go down that alley first, because Joe, you know, there's going to be so much emphasis on the tag division now in AEW, and they're doing this tournament. So we've seen Jericho established as your first champion. You're either going to get a Rio or Nyla Rose as your first women's champion. Tag champs. Should it be the Bucks right away? They're going to get it eventually, but should the owners get it there?
You know what? Just based on the way, I guess, the tag teams have been going lately, the two viable teams to me are the Bucks or the Lucha Brothers.
I'd argue the Dark Order could very well be thrown in there as well, considering the amount of push they've done for them.
I would argue Private Party.
Oh, that, you know what? I'd say that as well, because Private Party has gotten a bit of a push, too.
They've gotten a bit of a push. They won their match tonight, you know, so, and they seem to be over. They seem to, just from the way the Bucks have talked about them on being the elite in some of the vignettes, they seem to really have
high hopes for them.
Yeah, Private Party. So I could see them maybe perhaps coming out. But I agree with you. I don't think it should be the Bucks.
No, LAX coming in is also a threat as well, right? So
I mean, that would certainly be a way to get them over huge, is have LAX come in like this and win the tournament. Pretty huge.
Like,
right?
Mercenaries coming almost like from another organization.
Exactly.
And here we go.
Just come in and they all of a sudden they're the champions. Yeah.
For those, I mean, a lot of people didn't see them in Impact because a lot of people don't see Impact.
But by the same token, the people that did watch Impact, the thing that they raved about most of the time was LAX. Exactly.
I know.
So
now, did they actually call them LAX, or did they call them like the Bariquas?
They
didn't
call them LAX.
They called them the Bariquas. Yeah. They pushed a Puerto Rican vibe here.
Yep.
Right.
So they are in the organization. We knew that was happening, sort of, kind of. I mean, we knew that they had less Impact.
Yeah, that's right. There was talk, yes.
And we knew that they were headed somewhere. And they made statements last week in the news pack. I talked about it on this show, saying that they wanted to, it was something like they wanted to change the world. They wanted to make history.
Okay.
Right.
And I just, you know, in the news pack, I just said, you know what's not making history? Winning the SmackDown or Raw tag titles.
Exactly.
But showing up here is, you know, that's potentially making wrestling history. Now, the rumor that was going to happen here, and I talked to Meltzer about this for the past 2 weeks, was that LAX were going to be Jericho's partners, because he has two mystery partners.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Can they still be that? I think you want a surprise there.
Yeah, I think it should be somebody that we haven't seen at all,
right,
if possible. But then again, who does that end up being, though?
Well, let's think about that, because tonight we saw some viable surprises tonight. Neville was one of the rumored people as Jericho's partner. LAX could have very well been Jericho's partners. But they're dropping like flies here. They were kind of forced into putting Neville into this
match. Exactly, yeah.
And it was the right call. You got a great match. It made total sense. Great. LAX didn't have to debut tonight.
No, they didn't.
So to me,
but you know what? I think the thing is, though, Jay, is that they know that the most eyes at the moment are on tonight's show, and maybe they just wanted that big debut to be seen by the most people.
I would think that there's going to be more eyes on that first TNT show than tonight, than people ordering it when they can get it for free.
Because your hardcores
are already there, and on top of that, you get the regular cable audience tuning
in
as well.
Our regular wrestling family just might check it out because it is free. Yeah.
So that's a bigger audience.
Yeah, that's true.
So what is the rationale with debuting LAX tonight? To me, that says they've got something better lined up for Jericho's partners.
I don't think they're going to be. I think they're, like we were talking already, they're going to be the big stars in the tournament, I think. I don't think the Jericho thing, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a tag team. It just needs to be a couple of guys, right?
So where do you go? Joe, where do you go with these mystery? Listen, they've done, you have to say, AEW's done a really great job with
this whole mystery thing. Someone might show up. We got Arn tonight. Maybe not in the spot we expected, right? But he did show up. And it's like, what wrestling fans want, AEW takes pride in giving them. So what do wrestling fans want for Chris Jericho's mystery partners on the very first television main event on AEW on TNT?
I don't even know where to go with this. I mean, like, you know, again, there's the talk, and I'm trying to use air quotes here, about CM Punk. I don't see that. I don't see that happening. But I mean, there's been a lot of sort of rumor and sort of innuendo that he might show up at the first TV.
I don't think that's his spot, though. I think he's bigger than that.
Yeah, exactly. No, they would toss him in that.
But then he's one of two.
Right.
Know what I mean? So he can't just be one of two.
Yep. No,
is it Ralphus guys?
Oh, no. It would be two guys in Fozzie before it would be Ralphus.
Ralphus and Gilbert.
Security, whatever they were called.
No. But where do you go? Do you go? Listen, okay, let me throw this at you. And it would, again, it would be blowing up bridges, but it would be mind-blowing, considering he just did a spot at SummerSlam, Edge and Christian.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, the fans would go absolutely nuts for that. And Edge, we saw him do a spear.
He said he felt great.
Yeah,
and he could do a match, like, tomorrow.
Tomorrow is what he said,
Oh, jeez.
You want to start that rumor now, guys?
That would be pretty amazing, and that would get attention, and that would get hardcore. And that, again, it might even get people that know, oh, well, Jericho's in this new league. Oh, what? He's teaming with Edge and Christian? Like, that, I could see that hooking some people.
Yeah. Another rumor out there, since he's closing down his school and stopped his podcast with Brian Alvarez, is Lance Storm. You go down the history books with them. Lance Storm, of course, Chris Jericho, Smoking Mountain Wrestling, the Thrill Seekers.
Yeah, yeah.
Match was
exactly
together. There's a long history there well.
Oh, yeah, and Cornette would hate it, so there's a good reason to do it.
So, I mean, do you pull someone from Jericho's history? Do you try to put...
put two new guys just to get the rub from Jericho?
And if it's two new guys, let's look at that scenario here as well, because that's a curious thought.
Yeah.
But if it's two new guys, would that be disappointing if they are not names for the crowd watching?
Yeah.
This is your big debut at the end of the show.
Right. You're right. It needs to be two guys that people are familiar with, and two guys that people would go, whoa, did not expect to see those two guys in this promotion, right? So... yeah, I don't know. It's almost like there'd have to be two guys plucked from the WWE or something, like Samoa Joe and somebody shows up or something.
Of course, they're under contract.
But I'm just trying to think of someone that would have the impact that the casual or the hardcore fans watching this would go, holy cow.
And the casual fans as well, which I think what you have to count on for TNT.
Well, that's why your Edge and Christian one works, though. That's why that works
And
so
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't know what deals they're under, Legends deals, etc. Where can they go? What can they do? Joe, do you have any names?
I honestly can't think of any.
None?
Not that would make any sense. So.
Well, I tweeted this out in regards to the fact that now that LAX are there, I don't think they'll be the mystery opponents. And someone just sent me back a picture of the Hart Foundation from MLW.
Oh, so, okay. Right.
Pillman
so Teddy
and,
Hart and Brian Pillman, Jr.
Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah, right.
Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah.
Teddy Hart.
Right, right, right. Interesting.
You know, they just did a deal so Tony Schiavone can be on both.
Yeah.
Right. AEW and MLW.
Yeah, so obviously they're talking.
Well, and I believe...
And then you can put Brett in their corner as well, because he was already on Presenting the Belt, right?
We had Brett on our show.
Yeah.
And Brett is willing to do essentially what Brett wants to
do. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. is great. That's great too. Because that is intriguing. You've got a great link with Calgary and Stampede and all that kind of stuff. Wow, that would be pretty amazing if Court Bauer goes for it. I don't know, but that would be pretty amazing.
I think when it comes to Court Bauer, money talks.
Yeah, well, that's
so
it. If he gets something out of it,
Let's take a break. We'll come on back. We'll continue to talk AEW All Out. We'll segue into some WWE stuff that happened this week as well, for better or for worse. Because talk about the tag division. We got a new tag team in WWE. It involves a reindeer. We'll tell you about that when we come back. It is Sunday night's main event on a Saturday. If you want to get in, 1-866-729-2562.
We have to go there.
We are going to. That is up next. Taking a break, coming on back with more.
Hello, Gordy LeVac here. No one swings on hacks like I do.
And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer, our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Some dream work.
Cody, disaster kick that chair colliding with the skull of Spears. And now, crossroads.
What an explosive crossroads. Covered. Up the leg is over. And Cody gets some redemption.
American
Welcome back. There you go. Yes, American Dream, playing a little of the tunes. We saw the Bionic Elbow tonight.
Yes.
For you two guys, that had to be, I mean, even for me. I mean,
old school, yeah.
Yeah, very old school there. Nice little throwback to Dusty. I was surprised, though, and Joe, you mentioned him earlier, no Dustin Rhodes at all tonight, even though it was just released earlier this week that he has signed
yep.
and is going to be there with AEW, but we didn't see him tonight. That kind of surprised me.
I was
me.
Really surprised he wasn't in, at least in the entourage that came out there, right?
Yeah,
in the Star Trek.
No involvement at all, which was kind of weird. I didn't even. I thought he'd at least have something.
I thought he might
just
even be in Cody's corner. Like I thought he'd have a much bigger presence, right?
So with that in mind, you know, Mouth talked about the fact that this was such a well-built feud, and was this a good enough culmination for you, or do you think it still continues on, Spears and Cody Rhodes?
I personally would have liked to have seen Spears win this match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it can't continue, but Spears winning would have made it, I guess, a bit more, like, logical. You know, this one and done thing just doesn't make sense.
Unless we have, excuse me, unless we have the expert manager Tully put a rematch clause in there somehow and they get a rematch or something.
Well, we did have that whole deal around the contract signing where Cody didn't even look at
That's
it, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
he
so
just signed
go.
Away. And
Tully
that
could
was,
say, oh, you should have looked at this. I put this in here.
Cody's,
know.
Or Tully's busy now with Arn, though, right? I think they're going to be booked into a match soon.
Oh,
I think, right?
No.
hey, we got someone
that
else.
That would be as bad as they did this thing in the WWE probably early 80s where they had Albano and Blassie and they had matches at that point in their career. Just horrendous.
I have no recollection of that.
Yeah,
wow.
It wasn't a big feud. I think they might have only did it in select markets, but I've seen some of the footage and it was bad.
So let's not do that.
No.
However, let's go to another listener that was there live tonight, and that is Jake from Chicago, calling from Chicago. And Jake, you were there tonight. How are your seats? How was the event?
Oh, not only just that. Like you know, I had the nosebleed seats for about $70, but it was well worth it. And not just that, I was also at the whole StarCast event all weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Had a platinum VIP bracelet for about $250. So I spent a hell of a lot of money this weekend, but damn, it was well worth it.
Well, Jake, you know, earlier we were talking about CM Punk, of course, you know, and one of the things that we said was that it didn't hang over the event tonight, which was cool. There was no CM Punk chance or anything like that, but you were there at the CM Punk chat, you said. How was it?
It was actually, he's actually at peace right now on how, at like 5 years after it all happened with WWE, and yeah, just amazing conversation with him and Mike Johnson. He actually reminisced about Harley Race and how much he was how much he meant as a mentor to him, and he was actually a little emotional when he talked about Harley and all that. So, and also talk about more road stories with Kofi Kingston. Had thoughts about Kofi Kingston as the champion right now, saying he's so proud of him. So, I would say it was the best panel.
Was there anything about, like, thoughts of going anywhere else? Like, I'm sure he must have been asked about AEW or going back to WWE and stuff like that?
No. So he specifically said that he does not miss the wrestling industry at all, and he would just rather hang out with his wife tonight. So, and he said, sorry, guys, but but he was really gracious with the fans today, so he was really thankful that he was a part of it.
So what was your highlight of all StarCast, Jake? Was it that chat with Punk, or is there anything else that really stuck out for you that gave you your money's worth, your lots of money's worth?
Oh, my goodness. Besides Punk, obviously the BTE mailbag, and you spoke about Edge and Christian. Believe it or not, the Young Bucks actually took a roast at Edge, saying how great shape he is, how great of a shape he's in, like saying that he's in good shape for that Saudi money, so he took a little shot at it.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Let me just say, for All Out, did you talk about after the cameras were shut off, Cody Rhodes came out to the ring, and he actually invited Tony Khan into the ring after a short talk, and then he left Tony in the ring by himself, and I believe this was the first appearance that Tony had in the ring, and he just made a quick speech thanking the fans for all their support after All Out went off the air, and he said he really wants AEW to have a frequent presence in Chicago, and he wants to do Labor Day every year, actually.
Well, it seems they are doing that. They're going back to Chicago, right to the Sears Center.
End of
They're
November.
Doing Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving there.
Yep.
Thanks for the phone call, Jake. Much appreciated. Jake, of course, always following along on the message board as well. I like the fact that wasn't on television, what Jake just said. Cody in the ring, and then Tony Khan in the ring. That's a nice treat for people there.
Yeah,
I think that'll encourage people to go. I don't need to see that at the end of every pay-per-view.
No, because that's breaking the wall almost, kind of like, right? That's like the movie finishes and the actors all come out and talk to you afterwards or something, right? So it's kind of, you don't really want to see that on the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view ended just the way it should be, with your champion covered in blood holding up his title. That's just the way it should end. So, but that is fun when you go live to get those extra little bits, and especially the owner of the company to come out and say, hey, thanks for coming and everything, and this is what we're doing, and we want to do this every year. I like that idea of having certain parts in the year where it's always the same sort of thing, right? Because, I mean, you look in the past, Thanksgiving, even Christmas used to be huge nights for wrestling in North America, and now it's nothing, right? So
was it, now, I don't know, you having followed for so long, was it always in the same spot? Like, was it always Charlotte for Thanksgiving or something like that?
Yeah, for years, exactly, for years, yeah.
And
yeah, that's where Starrcade came out of that, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Vince McMahon tried to overrun that with Survivor Series.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
Which was just
like he's trying to do with NXT against AEW right now, right?
Well, that is what they did today.
That's right. Even today, they've counter-programmed the British NXT.
Sort of. I mean, it was earlier in the day. There was a great match. Tyler Bate and Walter.
Right,
was
Walter,
pretty
of
killer.
Course. Yeah.
You know, we talked about the David and Goliath thing, and that did happen today. Walter did retain. It was a good card. They put on a good show.
Right.
It's a lot of wrestling in one day.
It
don't
is.
Get me wrong. Like,
well,
I was,
we had the New Japan show
that
today
as well,
right? Yeah, with Okada and Minoru Suzuki. So today was a pretty busy day if you're a wrestling fan. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know how. I mean, you guys didn't consume the other stuff today, but I know you're going to go check out.
Oh, yeah.
Mouth, you've been talking about New Japan all night. Joe, you want to see New Japan as well, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I want to see that match big time.
So it's new. I mean, I was actually, because I had watched some of the NXT UK product, I was curious. It was very, see, that's the thing. It was very available to me because I have WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on this afternoon.
Yeah.
I PVR'd it. I watched it quick, compressing stuff before getting here. But, you know, Tony Storm lost today. I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, with Tony Storm losing, does that mean they need another marketable face on NXT for Wednesday nights? And Tony Storm is making
another one that they're putting down there. Yeah, could
Tony Storm's incredibly marketable.
Could it be? Yeah, I mean they're really going to start thinking about that show, right? And plus, because they have the 2 week jump on AEW too, right? They get to start early, so that show's going to be compact. The only thing I hope is that Triple H manages to be able to one to keep control, and that Vince doesn't, you know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, depending on how ratings is. I'm sure he's going to try to get his hands in there.
That's the thing. If the ratings don't go well, he's going to get in there, and that's going to really wreck it.
So we've been talking tag teams, and I teased this before we went to break. And, you know, this is our weekly show, by the way. If you're listening now, you're getting it on Saturday night, or you may be podcasting. We're going to run this show on the holiday Sunday into Monday.
Right.
So that's why we're doing it on the Saturday, to get the fresh out of All Out. But we will talk about some WWE product. I mean, we have been watching it, you know, all week. week long, as we do every week. And this week, we saw, as great as all the tag team situation is in AEW, and however everything seems to be making sense, WWE creates a weird match on Monday night and decides to put Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler into a tag team, Rudolph, which is what a lot of people are calling now. So they're Rudolph.
So stupid.
So they're a tag team. They have the OC and the Viking Raiders in this gauntlet match that disqualify one another. So I guess they're off to a program.
Yeah.
And where are the Authors of Pain? Like, there's so many questions.
Disappeared. They have disappeared off the face of the earth. I have no idea.
One was injured, and now they're both gone. And yeah, maybe they're going to be back on NXT as well. But let's just talk about Roode and Ziggler. Throw them together, and then they win. And they've got a title shot versus Braun and Seth, who are wrestling twice
on the pay-per-view.
On the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that exciting for anyone?
Yeah, no. Not for me. I don't know. I'll let Joe speak, because my answer is no.
No, I was not at all interested.
I don't like it at all, having them both. Why can't you have the tag team match where something happens that causes a split between Braun and Seth, and then we can have a legitimate match? How can we have the match with them tag teaming and then the same match with them for the title on the same show? I don't like it at all.
I also could have sworn that there was a promo from Roode and Ziggler that claimed that the championship match was going before the tag team match.
Oh, really?
Fight.
Wow.
And I thought I heard that. I could be wrong, because I just remember watching and going, what? What? That doesn't make any sense.
Yes. No,
I mean, I'm assuming, like you said, Mouth, so if they do lose the titles, they might lose the titles this night to this brand new tag team out of nowhere. We just saw Roode in a tag team with Gable, and Ziggler was in a tag team with, wasn't he in a weird tag team recently as well?
With Drew McIntyre.
So you had those mixed match tag teams that came together. Now they're in a whole new tag team with these two guys. These guys have had so many stop and starts. Both of them. Remember when Roode had a mustache for a week?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What? He looked like Tom Selleck for
sure.
1 week. Yeah.
For
it was ridiculous.
1 week.
Yeah. No, these poor guys. It's a clear example. Like you said, they just get stopped and started so many times that you don't have any faith in them. And I was the same way. I was watching that tag match, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The guys that are tagging for the first time beat all the experienced teams? It was ridiculous. Yeah, they're throwing stuff at the wall, hoping that something's going to stick. And
this certainly isn't helping, like, teams like the Revival or the OC, who, you know, legitimate teams, right?
Yeah.
Especially the Revival. Like, I love the Revival.
They're
so
great.
And they're entertaining. I know they're great in the ring. And then, you know, they lose to these guys, and you're like,
being wasted, kind of being henchmen for somebody else, right?
Exactly.
Like, they shouldn't be being Orton's henchmen. That's no good. I don't like that.
Well, I will tell you, for Clash of Champions, first of all, of course, Mouth, you'll be watching, because you'll be here with me watching.
I will.
Joe,
that's how much I like you, Jay, that I will come and watch Clash of Champions with you.
I have the network, so I will be watching.
You will be watching. Along with that, you will be predicting as well, because congratulations, you are tonight's winner of the six-pack challenge.
What? What was the score?
Yes, I believe, I got to check in the other room, because that's where my stats are, but you had already won before the main event began.
Oh,
yeah, you had
really?
You had at least a 2 advantage going in. I'll get that score for you, and we'll recap that. We'll also talk about...
No beer for me?
No beer for you.
That's the bottom line.
Congratulations, Joe. You now get to take on Bartender Dave in our six-pack challenge
for Clash of Champions.
Child's play, man.
Oh, boy.
Right. Bartender Dave, if you're listening, I'm coming for you, kid.
There you have it. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. We're going to talk a little bit more about WWE. We haven't talked on the Sasquatch-like footage we saw on SmackDown this week, so we'll talk about that, and we'll talk.
You didn't tell me we were going to talk about all this stuff.
Well, of course we are. We're covering the week in wrestling. So we will do that. We'll also talk a little bit more about Neville Omega and the potential.
Yeah.
What is happening
What's going on
of this match.
Yeah.
We'll do that when we return to Sunday night's main event on a Saturday right here, live on TSN Radio.
Hey there. I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me.
over My Dad Body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery. Now available at your local LCBO.
The bastard has the brutalizer locked in on a standing Kenny Omega.
Omega to tap. It's a submission. Omega being stretched by Pac.
Kenny Omega is fading. He is fading.
Omega's eyes are closed.
The brutalizer locked in. Pac.
Are the shoulders down?
No. He put him to sleep. What's Pac with the brutalizer? The bastard put away the best bout machine.
Here we go.
Well, there you have it. Yes, Kenny Omega passing out tonight, and the bastard, Pac, winning. Now we're doing this show live tonight. Welcome back. Sunday, it's Main Event on a Saturday after Elite Wrestling, kind of what we're doing here. And, Mouth, you're checking the wire, different sites that have gone out. So AEW has done some programming after show as well.
Yeah, they did some sort of post-show video. It featured Jericho, Adam Page, and Pac. Jericho celebrated backstage. He said no one is still thanking him. he ended up talking to the Young Bucks about becoming champ, and then he went to his empty dressing room and celebrated on his own. And then Page headed in to talk with the media, interrupted by Pac, who said a few words to him and threw a water bottle at him.
Shades of Conor McGregor.
Yeah, at least like Conor McGregor. And then Christopher Daniels asked him to leave. And so, remember, they were supposed to fight each other at the first one at Double or Nothing. Remember, Pac versus Page, right?
Right.
So it looks like maybe that's where they're going with those two. It looks like they're going back to that one. So with Pac getting in his face here backstage.
So because as reported on the Wrestling Observer site, which we're not sure is actually true, it had been said that the winner of the Pac-Omega match tonight was supposed to get a championship spot
against whoever won Jericho and Page. So I don't know.
I haven't seen that anywhere else, and you guys cover this every week. Yeah. Had you seen that anywhere?
No. These guys, the way these guys present and book, Jay, they would have had that. They would have mentioned
right out
that.
There.
Exactly. They would have had that right out there if that was their intention. So I'm not so sure about this. And here's the actual evidence from them. This looks more like, you know, that they're going to go back to Pac and Adam Page.
Yeah, so there you have it. Now, along with that, I mean, this was a surprise tonight, a legit surprise. We all jumped up. I mean, you heard the clip there, and one of the announcers was yelling, "What?" when that happened, which was great, and what a lot of the audience did as well. Because, Mouth, in the six-pack challenge, this was your first selection, and you chose Kenny Omega. This is what failed you tonight.
It is, because my arrogance got me right out of the gate, because I just thought, oh, of course, Kenny Omega's going to win. This is just a placeholder, blah, 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 so... I was wrong. Yeah, so, from there it's downhill.
Congratulations, Joe. A 6-3 victory tonight.
Whoa.
Over the Mouth. If you did want to check out what the picks were, I'm not going to read them off, but they are posted on the Facebook. And all you got to do is search SNME Radio on Facebook. So there you have it. Now, as far as Jericho goes there as your champion, I mean, I thought this was going to be leading to Jericho Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's your first competitor for Chris Jericho?
Yeah, well, that's it, exactly. The way that the booking and stuff has kind of played out tonight, it doesn't seem as clear as perhaps it did before. Again, it's got to be someone on the roster right now. Cody? Does this where Cody goes? Does Cody get the first shot?
If Pac is going towards Page.
Page, yeah.
And then Omega should go back with Moxley. That is still unsettled.
Right,
and people want to see that.
Yes, right.
Then, I mean, is it Cody Rhodes lifting himself out of that?
The Cody Shawn Spears thing looks done to me.
Which is, again, I think unfortunate, Joe, as you said. I think that should have continued
on.
Because not only is it, I mean, sure, it's okay for Cody, but it's really valuable for Shawn Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy who has... They've done a great job removing him from Ty Dillinger. You know what I mean?
Except for this. He does
the
10.
Yeah, he does have the 10.
He does still do the 10.
But it's almost like a mockery
of what
he used to be.
Right.
Yeah, like his entrance today, and except for the contacts, I like this presentation.
I did too. It was very different.
Yep.
So, but again, he needs, I mean, maybe it's MJF for him next. I mean, I could see that happening. Joe just busted his sunglasses. He's so angry. about the fact that Sean Spears lost it.
He did. He broke him in half.
$20 glasses, I guess they don't
sell. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Very strange that that just happened as I was staring over at Joe. Let's talk about what happened on SmackDown this week. We are going to touch a bit on WWE because we're Clash of Champions is coming up. And Roman Reigns, the whodunit angle continues on. And at the end, it was revealed that apparently, yes, it was Rowan, because there was some very blurry footage in which a man with a beard walked out from pushing some scaffolding. What? It could have been the other guy with the beard from last week, and also what happened to him?
This has holes you could drive a truck through in it, this whole angle.
Or a forklift in this case.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like every time they show that footage of the stuff falling on top of him, there's somebody new standing in the background.
That's like,
wait a minute,
funny.
That guy wasn't there. Like, first it was Buddy Murphy, and it's like, okay, and then, wait a minute, I don't remember seeing that guy in the initial footage.
You know, it'll be great.
When they showed this, that's what I thought. I'm like, what? That guy with the hoodie was not in the initial footage.
It'd be great if they showed the reverse angle and they showed all the cameras there as well as a whole bunch of wrestlers watching it take place. You know what I mean?
Like, it totally looks like they just keep doctoring the footage to do whatever they want.
It's such a farce.
Yeah. It's a joke.
It's an awkward angle. I remember I watched on Tuesday at the end of it. I was just like, what was that? Like,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense, and I don't know where it's going. I mean, we kind of...
Well, you know where it's going. It's going to Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. That's where it's going.
Well, then why is it taking so long to get there?
Because they are extending it out, Mouth, and this is... They're doing the cliffhangers and trying to get people to care and trying to get people to tune into next week's program.
Well, that doesn't mean you just stick somebody new in the background of the footage every week. Like, seriously, are you dying to find out who it is?
Oh,
I'm not,
and I also... Listen, I was very confused at having the second Rowan last week, and then this week the second Rowan was gone.
Yes. Well, he was just a local indie guy from whatever town they were in that weekend or that Tuesday. It's, I don't know. I understand the idea to want to make a longer angle because I think that is something that works when you stretch it out and you build it up, and they don't really do that much anymore.
But you have to do it well. Of course.
Like, I mean, again, the AEW stuff is an example of the way they can build stuff over a period of time, and it means something. Whereas this, I mean, they're trying to keep us in the dark, but not in a way that's very compelling.
You can't give that much credit to AEW yet. And the reason why I say that is WWE is dealing with 5 hours
of television
a week.
These guys were doing 10-minute vignettes once
a week.
That's
right.
You're right.
Sure, they've been very good for the most part.
Yeah.
We've talked about how they could improve here and there, but for the most part, very good. But now they're stepping into doing...
Oh, sure, 2 hours a week.
2 hours a week.
You're right. Oh, no, you're right.
It's a lot different.
Oh, you're right. Yep,
so
definitely.
We'll see how they hold up if the stress gets to them. I mean,
as an indicator, I did watch the special that aired yesterday as the warm-up kind of for this. It was their first program to air on TNT.
Yeah, so here's what happened. It was on Friday night at 10 p.m. TNT aired a Road to All Out special. It was an hour long, right,
yes,
Mouth?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I thought it was really good, especially if you hadn't been keeping up on all the Road to All Out segments or being the elites. They took everything and they interwove all the stories. They had all the, like, they showed you the clip of Cody saying that, oh, Spears, he's a good hand. Like, they showed you all the parts of the story, and I thought they did a great job of kind of laying it out and building the excitement. And they did it for, like, the top four matches. They mentioned the other matches, but they didn't dwell on them, which I thought was great, because to me, that's how it kind of was when you were younger, is that the top matches were the important ones, and the other ones were just kind of filling out the card.
What personalities did they use on it? Did they use Tony Schiavone on it?
Yes. Yep, they did. It looks like he's going to do like those event center pieces. They used him in one of those. They used JR.
Was Alex Marvez in any of these?
No, Alex Marvez was not in it at all.
Let's talk about this because we actually have not brought up JR tonight. And he was
not
beyond
good.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was not good. I don't know what it is. I continue to feel like it seems so contradictory for me to say this, but I get this impression he doesn't take it seriously. And I'm just like, I don't know what it is. Just so many of his comments seem to be off the cuff, almost sarcastic, almost critical sometimes. So I his commentary really pulls me out of it in some places. Whereas Excalibur and Golden Boy,
they are great.
I thought they were really good. Yeah. So
in fact, like for the Shida Rio match, for example, to me, Excalibur like was the star from the announcing perspective because he kept me personally interested in the match.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Compared to the other, like compared to JR especially, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it seems like, you know, Excalibur is there and knows the product inside out and has very much impressed me with his play-by-play ability because knowing a product doesn't necessarily mean you can express that product to the viewer watching, but he's tremendous. Yeah. Golden Boy is a great compliment to him. I mean, he talked about, at the beginning, he's like, you know, I'm used to calling the best video games in the world and now I'm calling the best wrestling in the world. And I thought he just fit in there seamlessly. JR is there because JR is JR. But I don't know what he brings anymore.
I do.
What's the name?
I do. The sit-down interview segment. That is where you use JR.
The Sean Spears one?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The one they did with Sean Spears and him was really good. And they did another one, too, with Adam Page and JR. And those were fantastic. He got to the questions were good. He came across as a presence of authority. Those were really good. However, in a commentary situation, I don't think that's the place for him. I think you can use him, but you don't use him doing live commentary. You use him in pre-taped segments, either interviewing talent, you know, doing the Tony Schiavone type thing, the event center, those type of things. But I don't think he's good on commentary in a live situation anymore.
And now the lack of Alex Marvez tonight was an excellent decision.
Yep.
I think it probably hurt management to do that. I feel now Alex Marvez was doing some stuff backstage, so we were told on YouTube, et cetera, and that's fine if you want to use them there. But when it comes to a premium broadcast, when you're working with a cable partner, he just seems to be a person that, you know, apparently I don't know him personally, and I haven't seen any of his work in football, but apparently, you know, he does stuff in football and he does radio shows, and maybe he's very good at that. He has not transferred well to television, and he is not transferred well to commentary at all.
Yeah.
And his combination with JR was even worse than what we had tonight.
I would love to see it go to Excalibur and Golden Boy, have a two-man team, and then you have two guys that are, you know, I thought Golden Boy was really good and enthusiastic and was up, and then, like you said, Excalibur, because he's been involved with, he's more of a younger guy, and he knows the modern scene. He knows everybody, he knows all the moves, and he can get you excited. So I do think there's a place for JR, but I just don't think it's in the commentary booth.
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, you know what? Like, I made a note, especially during the Jericho Page match, that there was one point where Excalibur, while he's calling the match, actually sounded like a JR from 20 years ago.
Really?
Like, he actually said something that, like, I think it was when, like, somebody hit somebody and he's like, oh, I heard the thud of his head. And I'm like, JR would have said that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, this is why I was really, really impressed with Excalibur. And I love me some JR as much as the next person. But yeah, like, tonight was difficult to listen to him.
And I like a commentator with a mask on. I don't have a problem with that.
You know what? When I saw them, because we already talked about the fact that they switched out the sitting to the standing.
Yes.
Right.
And when I saw the three of them, and I think maybe because Excalibur wasn't standing in the middle.
Yes.
But he's off to the side and he's just there. Hey, reporter, report, broadcaster, guy in a mask. Well, I'm watching a wrestling show. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what? And it does, and how often do you see him anyway? You're just hearing a very clear, concise voice from him. It doesn't matter. And actually, you know what? I actually like it.
So do I.
I actually like it. It took me a little bit, but I like it. I think it's different.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it done before. So, I mean,
it doesn't hurt what he's saying. He's saying the right things. It doesn't matter that he has a mask on. He's saying the right things. He's doing what his job is. He's doing the right thing. He's great.
Let's take one more break, come back, do a little bit of feedback here before we wrap things up. If you want to get in, phone lines are still open. 1-866-729-2562. You are listening to our Sunday night's main event special here on Saturday on TSN Radio.
I'm Dan the Mouth Loransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the Old Fucks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the Old Fucks, tough guy.
Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they stay there!
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event on Saturday. We still keep up the Turnbuckle Trivia. This, of course, is for a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com, and appropriately tonight, considering, obviously, they're in cahoots with AEW. We've been watching All Out. You can pick any t-shirt you want, though, from ProWrestlingTees.com if you win here tonight. We got two competitors on the line. First up, Jason from Louisville, Kentucky. One of our most popular players, Jason, because you were the gentleman who was on the assembly line during the tournament and still managed to win, correct?
Yeah, I did. For some reason, it seems like I was able to concentrate trying to do my job in a game show at the same time.
You are a 2-1 as far as wins and losses go. Your opponent today, 1-1, and Henry from Las Vegas is on the line. How are you, Henry?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great today. And let's get into playing the game. Gentlemen, tonight it's an AEW-themed game of Rhyme Time. So your answers must rhyme, and because it's a game, it's three questions each, but steals are in place. So make sure you're listening to the other person's question, or riddle, shall we say, as well. Jason, you've drawn player one here, so here we go. Remember, it's rhyme time, and it all has to do with AEW and All Out. So when I refer to opponents or anything, it's their All Out opponents. Here is your first one. Chris Jericho's opponent gets angry. What would that be? Chris Jericho's opponent gets angry.
Hangman Page Rage.
Page Rage is correct. Very good for your first point. And now we go over to Henry. Henry, a list of things the Perfect 10 is afraid of. What would that list be called? A list of things the Perfect 10 is afraid of.
Cody something.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that is incorrect. No. Remember, so the question is for this deal, a list of things the Perfect 10 is afraid of. Jason.
Is it Spears?
It is Spears Fears. Oh. Yeah, it was. I wasn't asking for an opponent there, Henry. I was flat out asking for the former Perfect 10, Spears Fears. All right, Jason, you're up 2-0 here. But again, with steals in play, a comeback could happen. So here is your second question. AEW markets a new line of alcoholic beverages around Mrs. Rhodes. These beverages consist of beer mixed with lemon-lime soda. What would it be called? AEW markets a new line of alcoholic beverages around Mrs. Rhodes consisting of beer mixed with lemon-lime soda. What would they be called, Jason? You kind of have to know the name of the drink for this one.
Right. I have no idea.
No idea? All right, this could be good for you, Henry, if you share these delightful drinks at any point. Do you know the answer?
I have no clue, but oh. I was thinking Brandy.
It's not Brandy. And I avoided going with Brandy Candy, which is the standard rhyme I would do. Instead, if you mix beer with like a lemon-lime soda or a ginger ale, it's called a shandy. So a Brandy Shandy is the name I was looking for there. All right, that was the toughest one. Henry, back to you, and hopefully you get this one. For your riddle, a wrestling figure is referenced as an action figure, not a doll. However, if one was created for Mr. Allen, a heel may get under his skin by calling it this. So, if an action figure, a wrestling figure, was made of Mr. Allen, a heel may get under his skin by calling it this. Well, what would it be, Henry?
Darby.
Okay.
Darby Carby.
No, sir. Buzzed out on that. But a good indication for you to steal it away, Jason. Do you got it?
It's a Darby's Barbie.
It's a Darby Barbie. It's as easy as that, Jason. You got the you got another steal there. And with that, there's only two questions left. So you've already got the win, my friend, with a 3-0 sweep. Congratulations, Jason. Not on the assembly line, but you did get the win here for the T-shirt. Way to go.
Thanks. Too sweet.
Too sweet. Yes, indeed. And you'll be hooked up with a T-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. And you should go out and try a Shandy. Honestly, it's a delightful summer drink. And just pour a little bit of ginger ale or lemon lime soda into a beer. It's pretty good. Just saying. It's a nice light beer. We're going to take a break and come on back with more of our All Out special here on TSN Radio. You don't know, you better find out the Wolfpack. Here to prove a point, number one, just believe that you don't want to test with them. I'll be avoided them, coming to break with them. You're never walking out again. So you're back on the Wolfpack.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents,
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
And now Walter, looking for the powerbomb! Phony press cover, no! On one! I don't believe it! Fighting spirit!
Walter said he's going to make a man out of Tyler Bate. Well, Tyler Bate, the man, is standing up to you, Walter.
An ominous look.
Clothesline by Walter. Into the cover. And that will do it. Walter retains.
So there you have it. That was the WWE's counter today. Sorta. It was on in the afternoon. It was Walter defeating Tyler Bate. I don't think that was much of a surprise. He retains his championship. NXT UK Cardiff takeover that happened today. I was surprised, though, guys, that Toni Storm did lose the championship to Kaylee Ray tonight. So we'll see if that means Toni Storm is on her way over to, you know, the American version of NXT, which is basically no more. Because NXT is all new from here on out.
Yeah, they're still going to do them at Failsafe, though. Is that right?
Full Sail. Yes.
There's an old movie called Failsafe.
The current plan right now, and they have sold tickets, I believe, to the end of the year. They'll be doing them at Full Sail.
Right.
So
okay.
That's 400 people, and AEW is going to be going to all these arenas.
Much bigger places.
There's an interesting spot today on the NXT UK show. By the way, we had a tag championship change as well, where I thought this was great. The two Welsh guys, Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster, who I absolutely love, defeated Zach Gibson, James Drake, who were the champions, and Gallus also went against them in a triple threat for the tag team. So they're new champions. And there was an interesting moment in the Joe Coffey Dave Mastiff match tonight. And I don't think this was planned. I texted bartender Dave, who was watching, and he said it definitely wasn't planned, where one of them got thrown into a turnbuckle, and these are two big dudes.
Yeah.
And the top turnbuckle fell off.
Wow.
It was. Listen, I think it's a highlight you're going to see a whole bunch, but I think it was just a royal mess up.
Right.
Like someone just didn't tighten it right.
Right.
But they had a last man standing match, and Joe Coffey
and Walter's match, and it was really long.
42 minutes. Too long for me.
Was it too long?
Too long.
Really? Listen, in what way? In that you thought the finish should have been like 10 minutes before or something?
Yeah, I don't understand why you need a 42-minute match.
Was there too many like false finishes? Like, to me, because sometimes Joe and I, we often find with the NXT ones, they just go a little bit too far.
They do. I agree with you. I don't think this was not as bad as...
Like a Johnny Gargano Ciampa.
Don't even get me started on that garbage.
That's what I mean.
No.
You know?
Yeah, so I just thought it was too long. I'm just not down for watching that long of a match. A couple bits of feedback here I wanted to get into from tonight's show. Generally positive, and we put up a feedback spot on the Facebook page. I'm just going to pick a couple here. Mike says, they did everything to make this feel special, like it's not a show for the sake of a show. Barely even missed Mox, which was one of the top matches.
That's a very good compliment to say that, yeah.
Now, on the converse, though, Bethany says, I was pissed that Omega lost to Pac. And it was the second match on the show. Kenny has won one singles match in AEW. That's not the way to book a top guy in wrestling. It's a lot of criticism over Kenny losing here.
Fair enough. I mean, it's still early days. I mean, we don't even have the regular television yet. I think once things get in place, we're going to see Kenny in more of a stronger spot. Plus, things got messed up with the Moxley thing and that. Who knows? I don't know if he was supposed to go over in the Moxley match. I'm assuming he probably would have. I don't know. If they would kept that program going?
I think
it's hard to say.
Well, I would think he was going over, but I was under that belief because I thought he was going over and then making his way to Jericho for the rubber match between those two guys.
Right, exactly, because you have that whole history there, yeah. So, I'm sure this is only a temporary thing, Beth. Don't worry. Kenny's not going to get booked under the table. He'll still have a prominent position.
Chris says, this was the easiest 3 hours and 45 minutes I've had since WrestleMania X7.
Wow.
Top to bottom, this was very entertaining and might be my show of the year.
Nice.
It did go by, and I think part of the reason for that was it did get off to a very good start as well. And, you know, Bethany's criticism of putting Kenny in that second match, I think, helped the card
because
it was so hot off the top with the fan favorite match and then being the SCU match,
follow that
up with a really big work rate match. Now, we were just talking off air, and you guys brought this up about Meltzer had tweeted out saying that he thought that the tag match should have gone on last.
Yeah.
I completely disagree.
So do I. I think it was incredibly fitting for the... Especially, this is your first championship title.
Champion needs to go last.
Yeah, this is the first... Like, even on a regular show, we always say champion should go last. This is your crowning, your very first champion. It goes nowhere but the last spot. To me, that last image of Jericho with blood all over his face, holding up the belt with the evil look in his eye, I thought that was a great way to end the show.
And that's how we're going to end our show, because we're done here tonight. Joe, thank you for coming in and taking Saturday night out.
I'm not doing color.
No. We're not. No, I meant this is how we're going to, I mean, on that statement, we're going to end it. Not you doing color. I've seen your concerts. I've seen you try to do color.
Exactly.
All right?
Doesn't work.
That's a true thing. It didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Joe, thanks for coming in. Mouth, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
So, Joe, you're going to be back defending your new, your number one contendership.
Sure.
You're doing the six-pack challenge, and Mouth will talk before Clash of Champions.
Yep, sounds good.
There you go. We are wrapping up. Thank you all who have listened in. The few callers that we did have really appreciated. This is going to rerun tomorrow night, and then we will be back next week. But of course, patreon.com/SNMEradio. If there's more Fallout, of course, these two guys, Joe and Mouth, are going to be covering it on All Elite Weekly. I've got the midweek markout coming up this week as well. And yeah, you get a trivia show if you sign up as well. So all of that,
do it.
patreon.com/SNMEradio. We will talk to you next week, Sunday night, 11 p.m. on TSN Radio. And as Billy Red Lions always used to say, don't you dare miss it.
Brother!